All right, so you guys know we're in the Cistern series in Jeremiah. The main text of this entire series is my people have committed, let's put that up there, my people have committed two sins. How many sins?
Two.
We know that there's more than two, but he says two, right? Two sins, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Instead of going to God, we keep going to the things that we think we can make happen, or we can depend on ourselves. And the Lord says through Jeremiah that they're like cisterns, they're like reservoirs of water that cannot hold water. They end up not satisfying us, they end up not refreshing or strengthening us. They end up making us thirsty and weak and listless. We are for the worse when we do this. Amen? That's what the series is about. So let me pray and let's get right into it. Lord, we thank you for this series. We thank you for your word. As you know, Father, we every week we're going after these cisterns, these metaphors for idolatry. And you know that we don't want to do this, but we can't help ourselves sometimes. And so I'm asking you for your Holy Spirit today. You see, Lord, we want to love you. We want to serve you. We want to do the right things, but we keep veering to the left or to the right. I'm asking you, Father, today, supernaturally, deposit your Spirit's joy and strength in us. Man, give us a hunger for Jesus, God, more than even the early days of our faith. Will you do that for us? If you do that, Lord, I'm going to know it's a miracle because we had some amazing early years with you. Many of us had encounters with you that are undeniable. So I'm asking you, Lord, I know you can do it. Will you give us new encounters with Jesus Christ? That God, that not only take us through this season, but all the way to the finish line for you. We love you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, each week we are unveiling a cistern or an idol that we build or that we make for ourselves, and this week is no different. I'm going right into it. Jesus actually describes the cistern for us in Matthew 7. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Okay? "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand." What is the cistern of the day? What is the idolatry of our time? What is the thing that we keep veering off to, rejecting God and making for ourselves? And that is this thing right here. We build our lives, our own ideas, our own ways, and our own philosophies. We do not seek the Lord and his word. Period. We have a culture of Christians that rather get a TikTok snippet. What is it now? 15 seconds? Is it 15 seconds now? 15 seconds of a sermon. I get emails from Christian TikTok influencers. Do you know that? Not because they know me, because I'm in the algorithm, okay? And they email me, and you know what they say? "Pastor, do you want to reach your congregation? Pastor, do you want to reach the world? Pastor, do you want your sermon that you've worked on all week to touch somebody outside this church? Do you want to do that? Here's five ways to use TikTok for your advantage." And there are days, trust me, I don't do it. I'm not on TikTok. But there are days where I'm like, I wonder what those five ways are. Because I like from the things that I prepare to go out there into the world. How many of you guys know? I want to do that too. Then I go online and I see what they're talking about. What do they mean by this? What they mean by this is the short little segments. Those little five ways to, you know, live a better life in Christ. Three ways to parent as a godly man. Blah, 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 blah. And you get so tempted. You're like, ooh, these little sound bites. Let me tell you something. You can't build your life on Christ on sound bites. Wow. Yeah. It is time for our church. At least our church, this is as far as my TikTok influence goes right here. Okay? My wife goes, how many people did you reach today? I'll be like, 3 people watched my videos. And she goes, oh, 50,000 watched mine. Fine, fine. Some of you guys know my wife, be influencing people. But listen, you can't build a Christian life on your ideas, on what you think is right or wrong, or even the opinions of experts online. We must become people who actually read, reflect, and allow God to use his word to mess with us. I know as I'm preparing this sermon, I know that 99.9% of you is going to be like this. That's a great word. Good for you, PB. I just know it when I'm preparing this. Do you know how it feels to prepare a message knowing that people just automatically don't want to read God's word? I'm not angry. But it can get very discouraging. As a pastor, guys, I'm going to get into this, but listen, if we are going to become strong and not just survive, we have to start getting curious about God's word. I mean, just read one sentence a day. See what happens, okay? Now, how do I know this is the sister in Jeremiah is talking about? Because Jeremiah actually says it, Jeremiah 11. But they did not listen or pay attention. Pay attention to what? Their feelings, their ideas, the influencers of their time? No. Instead, they followed the stubbornness of their evil hearts. So I brought on them all the curses of the covenant I commanded them to follow, but they did not keep. What is Jeremiah saying? All the consequences that Israel is about to face could have been avoided if they were just not stubborn. And the way God measures stubbornness is this. Do you yield to the spoken and the written word of God? Let me say that again. Do you yield? Do you ever yield or submit to the written or the spoken word of God? Let me say it another way. In our house, there's consequences all the time when our kids do not yield to the spoken or the written word of mommy and daddy. What do you mean, PB? Do you actually write things to them? Yes and no. I do text stuff, commands that I want them to do, and they don't do it, and then they get in trouble. But what I mean by written in our house is I'm not talking about just some rules, like 10 ways our 10 family will live together. No, I'm talking about things that they know that we have spoken and valued for so long. It has become a cultural fixed thing in our house. Let me say it another way. If you disrespect each other, that is in violation of a culture of something written or fixed in the Kim house. So you know when you get in trouble, you should not be surprised. Even when mommy and daddy don't say it, when they're in the van and they disrespect each other and say mean things, if you have children that are at the age of 10 or even 8 or above, you will see that sin is very real. They talk very meanly to each other. They don't need to go to school to be bullied. They bully each other. I'm serious. And then they start talking mean. Right away, we don't have to say, thus sayest dad, you shall not mistreat each other right now. They don't sit there when I say, you guys are all in trouble tonight. Nobody sits there and goes, well, you never said it today. No, it is a fixed word in the house of God. Or I'm sorry, I'm not the house of God. Our house. So when Jeremiah says, man, you are stubborn. They're stubborn against God's ways, which is written or fixed, or another way they say it is laws. But they also rebel against God's prophets who, inspired by God's spirit and rooted in God's ways, speak a live, real-time word to the people of God. And they rejected that as well. Let me show you. In Jeremiah 26, it says, when Jeremiah had finished his sermon. Everyone say sermon. Now, I know as a pastor, I'm so tempted to actually make it sound like this was a real sermon like our days. It's not. This is not a sermon. This is an oratory inspired moment. He is speaking to the congregation of God, okay? So he's not like up on stage with the sound system, okay? But he's saying something in real time. He's saying something with the unction of the Spirit. He's inspired by God to say something. And it says, saying everything God had commanded him to say. The priests and the prophets and people all grabbed him yelling, death, you're going to die for this. Talk about a hard congregation to preach to. The most negative comments I get, which you guys don't direct it to me. I know you guys probably say to each other, but negative things would be like, PB was off today. PB was boring today. Oops, I slept while PB was preaching. None of you guys will come to me and say, death to you, PB. But they say, death, you're going to die for this. How dare you preach and using God's name, saying that this temple would become a heap of rubble like Shiloh, and this city would be wiped out without a soul left in it. Death to you. Can you imagine Jeremiah the prophet getting filled with God's spirit and goes, boom, this is a real-time word of God for our congregation. And God's people say, no, I'm going to kill you for this. That's what God means by stubbornness. Even when I'm speaking through my prophets, even when it's live and real-time and really relevant for you, right now you don't even hear that I'm speaking to you. But it goes into the word of God fixed as well. Jeremiah 5, as you can see there on this other side, right? They meaning the people of God, made their faces harder than stone and refused to repent. Any of you in a marriage, you know what this looks like, by the way. Made their faces. So many times my wife has made her face hard, okay? Stone, refused to repent. I thought these are only the poor. They are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord. They don't know the fixed culture, laws, or ways of God. They are not interested in building their life on God's word. Can you identify with this at all? The scary thing about Jeremiah is that many times as you read and hear these warnings and why they were experiencing exile or separation from God is things like this or these cisterns that he is describing. And the scary thing is I or you, we often can identify with. So what makes you and I think that we would somehow avoid this exile? Hello? I want us to have a fervent, strong, vibrant faith life. But it's not going to come by just us getting great ideas or watching some short snippet on whatever, on TikTok or YouTube or whatnot. Now, Heidi Kwan here does our social media, and she's nice enough to post summaries and reflections and stuff from our sermons on Sundays. And we do that because you know, everyone does that. We do that because on social media, you know, you want to... I don't even know why we do that. We do that because churches do that, I guess. Why do we do that? So we do that. And we go like, PB had 3 points, so we do the 3 points. It's like, that's great for summary's sake, okay? But can I tell you something? There's something that happens in this live moment when the congregation gets together and we decide to take time to listen to the word of God together. Something happens. You know what happens? The Spirit of God hovers ready to respond to your response. Hello? And you can either be stubborn or you can say, this is a real-time word for me. I open myself to you. And God goes, phew, and he comes in and he meets you where you're at. Can I get an amen? So PB, who's they? Who's he talking to? Doesn't this just concern me? Right? Really quick, I want to show you that when God speaks, he always speaks to two categories, to two groups, okay? The first group being this. He speaks to you as an individual. He speaks to you as an individual. Every one of you, if you open your heart, whether it's on a Sunday during a sermon, or whether it's your own study time, or even when you get together in your home groups, if you open your heart, God has a word for you. God has a word for you that you can build your life on. Hello? Every time. God is a very personal God. He wants a relationship with you. Do you believe that? Right? You don't have to live off somebody else's revelation all the time. You don't have to sit there and go, well, that person seemed to got blessed at that home group meeting. What did God say to you? No, God is saying something to you all the time. Whether you hear it or not, your heart, your soul is hearing the word of God, and you are being built in Christ. So God is speaking to you directly. But most of us can accept that. Yeah, God, I want God to speak to me personally. And if he speaks to me, that's a good meeting. I feel satisfied and fulfilled. But what we do not understand is that our God, his primary audience, the group that he's really interested in speaking to, is a corporate group, a people of God, where two or more are gathered in his name. God likes to speak to the body of Christ. Of the 16 letters that we read in the New Testament, aside from the Gospels, 12 of the 16 letters that became the epistles that we read in our holy text, 12 out of the 16 were written to a congregation or a group of people that was supposed to be read out loud, and that the people of God were to not only extract meaning for themselves individually, but ask a fundamental question that we Westerners do not ask. And that is this: what is the word of God saying to us? When we come in here, our primary value system is this: what is God saying to me? Do I like what God is saying to me? This sermon really tickles me. It's all about us. And it's not even us for the sake of mission in Christ. It's us just for edification and enjoyment, often, is it not? But in the body of Christ, especially in the New Testament, when these epistles were written, they were not asking, does this bless me? They were asking, what is God saying to us, and what does God want from us? You see, they saw that in the end, it wasn't just about them finishing this race and them receiving some great, you know, heavenly reward. They were interested in them finishing together. They knew that they will be judged not just individually, but corporately, that we are a team. Do you know that when you hear God, we are blessed? When you obey God, we are blessed. When you don't obey God, when you don't listen to God, when you don't build your house on the rock of Christ, we suffer. We have to step out of this Western individualistic Christianity that says, as long as I'm blessed, this church is awesome. No, you should be concerned. Are we blessed? Are we on the word of God? Are we walking correctly according to his culture, his fixed word? Are we hearing the rhema, the real-time word of God together? What are we doing? Hello? Only 4 out of the 16 letters were written to individuals. 4. And of the 4, all of the 4 were expected to be read publicly, even when it was written directly to somebody. So we can safely say all of the New Testament was supposed to be for the public congregation of Christ. It was supposed to be for the team. You are part of a team. If Echo succeeds in any way in obeying God, following God in our time, in real time, we all succeed. If Echo fails to do that, we all fail. And let me just say something about our culture. It's not like a sinking boat, okay, where you're like, this ship's sinking. I best jump with my family and go to that ship that's not sinking. No, do you think Echo is the ship? We are part of the ship. Echo is not the church, the big C. Echo is a little C and part of the big C. Hey, hello? So you can go, oh, I like to jump off this part of the boat, go to this safer side. Imagine if you're on Titanic. You're like, this part of the boat doesn't seem to sink. It's on this, we're so high. It's high because it has tipped over, right? And you're on this side with your family going, well, see, daddy's smart. We got to get out of that church. That church sucks. It's like losing people. It's like suffering, bad leadership. But we're on this good side of the ship. And your kids are like, oh, dad, oh, mom, you're so smart. We're in this healthy, healthy church. Do you know that all the churches you left, we are part of that church? And all the churches you might go to, we're part of that church. We have to become the body of Christ, all of us rooted in Scripture. If this thing sinks, I'm following you. I'm going to go to that church that you go to. And we're going to go to that little area of the boat, and I'm going to show up there. And I'm going to say, how's it going in this quarter? And you're going to be like, oh, this quarter is way better than Echo. Cool, I'll be here too. And then we're going to sing together here. Until the body of Christ goes, no, this whole thing is the body of Christ. Do you understand? Do you understand? Our heart has to be bigger than ourselves. We have to go, we matter, and then we matter, and then we matter. All of us matters in the body of Christ. Our prayer should be, this church got to survive and thrive. And then the Church of Jesus in Southern California has to not only survive but thrive. And then the church in America has to repent. Nobody wants to be a Christian anymore. It's so unattractive. Well, we're not like that church. I'm sorry. We are part of the church. We have funky uncles, funky aunts. We have people that we're like, oh my God, what are they doing over there? People that you would never bring to a party. And you'll say, I don't want them representing my family, but they're part of us. So instead of saying, condemning them and say, you, I'm going off, aren't I? I got to go back to this. This is how you know you're a disciplined preacher. It's because you go, oh, I'm going way off. Okay, I'm going way off. All right, let's go back. So we're in a me culture. I just want nourishment for myself. But here's the deal. I'm going to explain the both, okay? If you don't have corporate worship, you will never fulfill the mission of God on your life. I know it's contrary to what you were raised in. As long as you believe in your calling, you fulfill your destiny, you make it to the finish line. The finish line is a corporate line. Okay? But then what about me, PB? What about my own relationship with God? Here's the deal. If you don't have a deep foundation in the Word of God for yourself and you're not hearing God for yourself, you will have no resilience for the race. You will not. You will fall out. You will fall out. Years ago, I did a marathon, okay? I know, it's not a marathon. It was a 10K? Was it a 10K? Was it 5K? It was 10K, right? 10K, man! Sometimes I exaggerate and I believe my own. No. It was a 10K, guys. It was 10K. We have videos to prove it. 10K! And I said, listen, I'm part of this Echo 10K team. Do you understand? We went there, and I was like, dude, I'm going to run. I'm going to do 10K. Anyone could do 10K, right? No. Not anyone can do 10K. We ran. Joyce Lehman, do you remember? You were there. Joyce, I just want to say, you were not part of the team. You know why? You were way ahead of the team. You were just basically saying we are slow. She ran so fast, I think she finished and just waited for us. Didn't you? Right? Don't lie. Anyways, we did the race. We did the Nike 10K. And I remember thinking to myself, this is the worst decision I made in my life. Because every block, I was dying. I was like, what? Who does this kind of stuff? And then I barely finished. And then I was acting all cool. We're getting all these cool jerseys. And we participated in the Nike 10K. Yeah, and then we're all taking pictures together, right? We finished. I was sick for 2 weeks. 2 weeks afterwards, Michelle, my wife, was so mad at me. She was like, why did you do this? You don't even run. You don't even prepare. And I was like, I thought it was a good idea. Here's the deal. We could run together, but because I did not put in the work. Come on, somebody. I had a very horrible time. And if this was a real race and we ran as a team, I would have made the team lose. You see, we can hear the word of God together. We can study the word of God together. We can get the fixed word and the spoken word. We can just marinate all this together. But if you don't have your own personal time with God and his word, your lungs will be weak. You will not be able to run. So let's go back to why we have such a hard time with God's word, okay? I know this is real. And it's not just because technology is advancing and we don't like to carry books, okay? We fundamentally have this fleshly, sinful, allergic reaction to the Word of God. How many of you guys have ever passed by the Bible in your... Do you guys have a Bible in your house? How many of you guys have ever passed by the Bible and you ignore it? You purposely ignore it because you see it, right? You walk by and you're, oh, shoot. Because it's calling you. It's calling you. Right? And you know it's good for you. You know it's good for you. But you don't want to do it. I have a coach in my jiu-jitsu school, always eyes me during our fighting time. He's like just staring at me like this. And after every 2 to 5 minute fights, everyone stops. And then it's kind of like the school yard. They look at each other and they look and they point and they go, I want to fight you. And then you have to fight them, right? Every time I know where that coach is, I walk by like this. Every time I walk by him like this, because I know that when I roll with him and fight him, I grow, I get stronger, I learn, because I get beat up. And he knows that he's good for me, so he's always eyeing me. I'm not even kidding. He just eyes me like this. And then sometimes he's like, he gets tired of my ignoring and he calls me out. He goes, Big Kim. He calls me Big Kim. It's embarrassing. He goes, Big Kim, come here. Come here, let's roll. And it's like the Bible. Big Kim. Big Kim, let's roll. We don't want to do it. So why don't we want to do it? Here's why. We fundamentally think that we know better than the Word of God. That's why. And I have news for you. For this one's going to hurt, okay? Most of us that live this way, where we think I'm more informed and I know better than the ancient book or the spoken word by the Spirit through the congregation, or I just know better. The sad truth about this type of person, I just want to say this out of experience, okay? I'm not saying this is going to guarantee it happened to you, but most of these folks, God loves them enough to break them. And most of these folks do not get to the word until they are humiliated by their own word. Meaning their life proves to them that they are foolish. So if you're in this camp, I think you should get out, because you will have to endure that kind of suffering, and God will give it to you because he loves you. Then there's another type. I will determine if it's true. Many of us don't get into God's word because we're like, I'm going to see what about it is true. I'm going to see if I think I can verify it. We're so arrogant. This book has outlasted every generation. And we think we can, we need to verify it. We need to authorize it. We need to give it credibility. And finally, I think we don't read the Word of God or listen for God's Word, right? Real-time Word or the fixed Word. Because we say, I'm unsure if you even qualify to instruct or advise me. This is what I mean by this. We don't know if God or Jesus, through his word, really qualifies to teach or advise us about the things that we're going through. Hello? Here's what I mean by this. My kids, when I talk to them, will often say things like this. So these are teenagers. My younger ones do not do this, okay? Teenagers, for some reason, something happens to their brain, okay? And they'll say things that they shouldn't say. So I'll say something, and they'll say something like, but dad, and they say it nicer than this, but essentially they're saying, but dad, what qualifies you to say this to me or direct me? Hello? For instance, my son, who loves basketball, when I go to play with him or practice with him, I'll say, do this or that. And he'll say, dad, but you never played high school basketball. As a matter of fact, you don't do any sports other than jiu-jitsu. Most of your life, you don't do any sports. But I go, listen, foo, do you know I grew up in the greatest basketball era. Michael Jordan was my lifetime. Magic. You don't even know Magic Johnson, fool. You know Stephen Curry, my butt. Like, I go, what? All of you trying to be Steph? Is Steph the latest guy? He's old too now, right? Right? They're all like out there trying to shoot threes as if they're going to make it. None of them make it. And I'm sitting there, and one time I was teaching him the skyhook. Switch to the left. Sky. All right. Most of you that are good basketball players, you just saw me do that and go, dang, he's good. Right? He's good. That guy's good. And I said, man, Josh, if you do a sky hook, people freak out. They'll say it's the newest thing. Right? All kidding aside, I'm actually teaching him principles of basketball or sometimes principles about sports in general. I talk about hard work and practices and what you have to listen to when the coach talks. I don't have to play that particular game in order to give him wisdom. Jesus did not have to live right now. I'm talking about on earth. He is alive and well today, and the word of God is still sharper than ever and can speak to you even today. You got to give it a chance and stop disqualifying it. Okay, so before we end, I thought I'd give you a little bit of like a little survey of what it looks like to be a Christian who doesn't really see the Word of God as important in terms of their relationship or the intimacy that's available with God through the Word. And before I do, I'll give you an idea. For instance, when I was growing up, people said, you must be on fire for God. Be on fire for God. And when we said be on fire for God or have encounters with God or be close to Jesus, we had several images that would pop up right away. One of the images is something like this. Let's look at this picture here. It's praise. Let's look at the praise picture. Oh, there we go. Look at that. When I say, let's have an encounter with Jesus, most of us have these types of images in our mind. Or we say, if someone says, PB, how was that conference or camp that you were at? And if I say something like, man, it was fire. It was lit. What do kids say these days? It was 100%. I don't know. It was everything. It was just so rich and just powerful and just fire of God. And if I say it like that, most of us will go, it must have been like that on the left. People were just so passionate for God. And then we'll think like that. We'll go, ooh, it must have been some awesome worship time, awesome singing time. People must have been just singing their hearts out to God. And we think that fire or intimacy or having hearts that are burning for Jesus looks like that. Sure, it can. Or we think it looks like that, the one on the right, right? Where the prayer time was so intense, right? People get, you know, we had this term when I was growing up, we would ask each other, we'll go, did you get blasted? Right? And what you meant by that was, did the Holy Spirit touch you really hard? And you were just zapped by the power of God, and you felt that warmth of the Spirit, and you were just so in love with God. And we would think about these types of things, and these things will come up in our mind. Right? But can I tell you something? Scripture actually talks about how when we are in the Word of God, and when the Word of God is open to us, it is often the place where we are the most closest to Christ and the most on fire for God. Because it is revelation of God that sustains the deep relationship with God. It's not just encounters with God. It's revelation. Every person you fell in love with, you sustain that love by then getting to know them. That date doesn't last. Those coffee meetings don't last. They're good and they're helpful even after marriage, but it's revelatory moments. Getting to know each other more, hearing each other's words and your hearts, that's what keeps the fire going. PB, my wife and I are struggling, so we just thought we'll have dates, once a month dates. The dates alone do nothing. What is being exchanged during that date? Is it life on life, words on words? Are you sharing? Is your spouse, your partner, having revelations of who you are through what you're saying? That is the warmth that keeps that relationship going. So from now on, I want to add one more image for you. I know that image is seared in some of your minds. I know that is seared in some of your minds. But this third image, I need seared in your mind. And that's this image. Okay? That is Ant-Man. Okay? I looked long and hard typing man crying while reading. You know how hard it is to find this image? I didn't want to use this image, but it's the closest thing I can find. I want this seared in your mind. Here's why. We don't think that is an encounter with God. But can I tell you something? That is one of the most sustainable things you'll ever have. That's the thing that's going to sustain your fire. Those are the dinners with God. Those are the dates with God. Those are the coffee times. Those are the evening examines with your spouse. Those are the meaningful conversation. That right there, I need seared in your mind. Because we can constantly try to inspire you. We can constantly try to give you, you know, new angles to this word. Ooh, here, look, have you ever heard this angle for this text? Ooh, isn't it cool that I discovered this new thing for this story? After a while, you know what? It doesn't really matter. If you don't have those moments with God yourself. But before I finish, I also would like to say the Bible itself is not God. Let me say that again. The Bible itself is not God. If you start thinking the Bible is God, or you want to become somebody that is so knowledgeable about this word that you distance yourself from an intimate relationship with God and you don't use it for that, you just use it for knowledge, this too can become a cistern. Did you know that? Usually used as a weapon, right? This is not God. This is also not the presence of God. Jesus is God. Jesus is the living water. The problem is we need vessels, cups, something to scoop up that beautiful living water and drink from it. And often we don't know how to do that. So we need the Word of God. The Word of God is the vessel. Can I show you? If you go like this, if you read, open, oh, 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 oh. 5 hours of my day right here. Because I love this congregation. You see, the Word of God is not God. The Word of God is the vessel you drink Jesus with. I know it's silly. But you know, when I look at some of you and you keep talking about how thirsty you are in life, how dissatisfied you are with your relationship with God in the church, I go, somebody has not done this. Somebody not be opening this, because no matter how many times you get with your pastor, with your therapist, with your spiritual director, with online sermons that are better than mine, which honestly, they're not better than mine. I just want you to know, I've been doing this for 20-some years. They're not better than mine. I know you're like, yo, PB, only three people watch. I just trust me. They're not better than mine. But listen, when they, you drink this yourself, oh, something springs up in you. All right, fine. Okay, I'm going to skip the last part. But can I just show it? It's really cool. I just want you to show the titles. These are ways. We're going to go by one by real quick. Okay, whoa, let's go. Boom. Okay. I'll post this up online, okay? But I did this thing where I want to show you what your Christian life looks like when one of the three things is missing. When worship and praise is missing, or when prayer is missing, or when the Word of God is missing. If one of the three is missing, you just become a weird, okay? So I have six of these that I will show you. That's bonus content. It's bonus content that only you will get if you follow me. Oh, Lord. Okay. All right. But I need to end with this because this. So we're going to skip all this, okay? This is bonus. But I do want to end this. Oh, PB. How do you know that the Word of God gets you on fire for God? How do you know that it creates that word? Because it's recorded in Scripture. When Jesus resurrects from the dead, right? And he goes onto the road of Emmaus. Every one of your ajummas and moms have this painting, by the way. I want to show you this painting. Show the painting. This is every home. Every Korean home has this for some reason. This man, whoever made this rubber zun, must have made millions, right? Okay, off this painting. But there's this painting, and that's Jesus after he resurrected, and he's walking on this road called Emmaus, and he's walking with these two disciples, and his disciples are saying, hey man, you don't know what was happening in Jerusalem the last few days? Where were you? And all of a sudden, Jesus begins, Scripture says, to open up the Scriptures to them and reveal to them what it's talking about. And then the disciples say this later. They said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the Scriptures to us? Man, they're not singing, right? They're not having prayer time. Someone's not praying for them. Although those are, of course, needed. They're fundamental to our Christian faith. But listen, the time that they met God, Jesus Christ, after the resurrection, they didn't even recognize Jesus. Where were you? Don't you know? This dude died. He was killed on the cross. Jesus must have been like, these fools don't even recognize me. But listen, what he said, what does he say? He doesn't sit there and go, look at me, let me surprise you with me, right? No, he goes, let me unpack the Scriptures for you. Because he knew the Word of God that's revelatory, that's heard and received, will outlast anything in life. And he knew, I gotta unpack this for them. And so, look at them. He's explaining the scriptures to them. And then they get a revelation of God. And they say, and it's recorded, were our hearts not burning? You want to be on fire for God? You want to have an encounter with God? Get in the Word of God. Just open it. I dare you. You don't know where to start? Start in Psalms. Psalms are little microcosms of the whole Bible in one little chapter. Each chapter is like the entire Bible. Just read it. Read it over and over. And when God visits you, right, and unpacks this for you, you will be changed. And you will have the resilience needed for us to not only survive, but thrive. You guys know I love comedians. Years ago, I read this comedian's book. It wasn't on comedy. He wrote a book on addiction. His name is Russell Brand. You guys know Russell Brand? He's a British comedian. And he wrote a book on addiction because he was an addict. He was a sex addict, drug addict. And after reading his book, I said to myself, I kid you not, this man is going to meet Jesus. Because the way he wrote that, he was so broken. And the whole book was about him saying, I'm so unimpressed with how I built my life. I have to go to AA and SA, and I have to give my life to a creator. And then the book says, even though I don't believe in one, I must practice as if there is one. So I was like, he ready. And then years later, I see him pop up on Instagram. And on Instagram, he's different. And I'm like, he looks different. All of a sudden, he's into yoga and meditation, and he's doing these podcasts about how he's seeking the inner light. So I'm like, wrong turn. But at least in the realm of curiosity, I'm going to pray for this man. And I'm just like, he's so close. And then years later, I see him posting about Jesus. But he goes, I like this figure, Jesus, among many other religious leaders. So, not yet, but he's close. And then, recently, on, is it X, Twitter X now, right? He posted this picture of him with the cross. He has a cross. And I was like, why does Russell Brand have a cross? And everyone on the TikTok responses are like saying mean things. Saying, don't go that way. Don't go that way. I almost joined Twitter to say, shut up. All of you, shut up. Leave this man alone. And then he answers his audience and goes, I have this cross because I'm so fascinated by Jesus and his sacrifice. And he's quoting Galatians and he's quoting the scriptures. And I'm like, this man is reading the Bible. And then one day on Twitter, he says, I can't help it, but I have found myself reading the Bible more and more. I was like, oh, honey, I was telling my wife, Russell Brand is gonna become a Christian. I mark my words, right? Recently, I see this picture. That's his baptism. Now, some of you guys that know him, you guys are like, oh, are you sure? Or even after this, you know, his podcast is sometimes weird. But can I ask, were you a mature Christian at your baptism? Now, chill out, okay? You guys are so religious. You guys, well, did he give up this and give it that? Amen. So that's Russell Brand on the right. You guys are going to love this. If you know me, you're going to love this. Because you know who baptized him? You know who baptized him? Bear Grylls. My hero. Bear Grylls, who is a Christian, a devout believer, baptized him in the river. Then I go on his Twitter account and I see the latest post from this man. I kid you not. You should go way to the long time ago once now. His countenance has changed. He looks different. Why do I tell you this? This guy was not at some Jesus festival. Come on, somebody. He wasn't scared into the kingdom by some preacher. Come on, somebody. He slowly dug into the Word of God. The Word of God, used by the Holy Spirit, led him to Jesus Christ. If that could happen to him, and if this happens in Scripture on the road to Emmaus, are we missing out when we as Christians and followers don't dig into the Word? We're going to end up building our own cisterns, guys. Again, most of you will agree with this sermon. Many of you will not act on it. But if you do and you need help, message me by following my by following my Instagram. Yeah, let's pray. Oh, God. Okay. I think this is my last one in this series. And then we got Pastor Joanne finishing us up. And in about 2 weeks or so, we're going to start a new series. And in the new series, we're going into the book of Joshua. We're going to do the whole book of Joshua. And what Joshua is going to require from us is a people prepared to follow God. And I'm telling you, this series could not have come in a better time. We got to get rid of our cisterns. We got to get rid of our idols. Because when God is calling us this summer to new land, new territory, I need you. I need you to have been ready. I need you to get ready. Get rid of your cisterns. Get rid of your cisterns. Get rid of your cisterns, okay? Amen?
Amen.
Father, thank you so much for this church. I thank you that you speak to the body of Christ real time as well as your fixed word. Thank you that you're ready to meet us, empower us, but also fill us with your spirit through the word of God. I thank you that you curated this for us and for many others over the centuries. And you got us here through your word. But Lord, where we're headed next as a church, God, we're going to need more than feelings. We're going to need more than good ideas. We're going to need more than being a relevant, cool church. We're going to need the word of God. And I pray that this church, God, will get so fascinated, so hungry, so curious about your word. You will find us sitting at your feet. You'll find us on the road to Emmaus, and that you would unpack your word to us. Thank you, Lord. I bless this church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your life. Amen. Amen, church. Have a good week. Again, if you need resources, contact us. We will get you stuff. But if you don't know what to do, just get an app. Goodbye.